Are you more excited that it's not the SEC?
I would be lying if I said no, because yes!
Episode 7. Can you believe it? We're rolling right along with this podcast, even though sometimes it gets delayed a little bit, especially how crazy things are in Atlanta sports right now. We have the Hawks in the playoffs, the Braves full force, the Dream, everybody just doing their thing. The Falcons are in the middle of OTAs, so things are a little bit nuts. But here we are, Married to the Game, Episode 7, and this one was worth the wait, I promise. Little backstory on our guest today. You're going to know who this is, especially if you're a fan of SEC football, even though this family isn't in the Southeastern Conference anymore. Once you hear her name, you're going to know exactly who she is. And the reason why her and I know each other, I covered Auburn in Alabama for 3 years when I lived in Montgomery, Alabama. And so her and I connected that way. I was covering those teams so closely. Her husband, his last name is Malzahn. Bum-ba-da-da, Christy Malzahn, one of the most sensational, vibrant, all of the crazy, amazing adjectives to describe somebody. That's Christy. She's so much fun, so sweet, and she's very outspoken, very honest, the perfect person for this podcast. They're close to Disney. They have grandkids. They're just at such a perfect time in their life and in Gus's career to be at such an amazing school like UCF. So much fun. They're going to have a blast. They're already having a lot of fun. And she tells me everything and dishes some secrets too about her time at Auburn. Buckle up. This one's pretty good. Christy Malzahn. First of all, Christy, I am so excited that you're going to be on the show. You were one of the first people that I thought of. And I was like, I don't know if she's going to want to do it. I don't know. But now you're in Florida, bright, sunny Florida. Yeah. Life is great.
She loves to talk. Are you kidding?
Yeah, who
would love
who
to
was
talk?
I kidding?
Love to talk.
So. How is Florida?
You know what? It is hot. It is really hot.
Hot.
It is great. I mean, it's kind of nice to have a fresh start. And we truly. It sounds like a cliche kind of thing, but Gus had really settled in his heart to do some TV. He wasn't looking for just any job.
Yeah.
There had been a couple of possibilities / you know, what do you think kind of things happening. And he just never really had any peace, nor did he really have the oomph to want to go back in. And so, when this came up, he was just like, this is the deal. This is it. So he is completely immersed it back into and trying to play catch up still. Hired a staff quickly, recruiting, jumped right into spring ball, trying to get to know your team, trying all the things that, you know, and you just have no idea what you're walking into until you get there. So
there's probably some level of comfort though, because when I saw the staff that he was hiring, it's a lot of familiar faces for you guys.
Yes, we had a few that we had never worked with before, but for the most part, specific key pieces had been, you know, they were either friends or they had worked with us in the past. So we were very thankful because we got a great staff and were able to put together something special. Even though it was February 15th. And that by that point, the signing days, you know, everything has already kind of ever shaken out and settled.
Yeah.
And I mean, this year has been a weird year for, I think, for everyone, but because there's even been a couple that have changed since then. But
yeah, I saw the picture. I don't know if you posted it. You probably posted it. And it was maybe Gus playing golf. And I was like, oh, look, they're happy. Like they're hanging out, you know, they're chilling. And then all of a sudden I see reports that he's going to go to UCF. And I was like, wait a second.
I was like, wait, we're having fun. What? What?
What do you mean we have to work?
there's been a few, I am super thankful. But it was a minute of me. It was like, we jumped in with both feet and then I went, wait a minute. We're really not taking I had kind of mapped out the whole year. And part of that was to keep our minds busy.
Sure.
You know, you get old when you sit around and don't do
anything. Oh my gosh.
And we were like, man, we need to we're going to take advantage of our time, see the positive side of what's going on, and go do some things that we had never, you know, been able to do. I mean, I was kind of looking forward to like New England in the fall.
Yeah.
I don't get to go anywhere in the fall.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the past it was Tuscaloosa and Starkville.
But, vacation know, mode, now, let me tell you.
I had an opportunity to go do something fun. So anyway.
But hey, but now you get new cities, at least.
We
you
do.
Get places
and
to go.
There's some cities that I've never been to. So I'm really excited about that. I think
oh, that's cool.
Cincinnati this year. And I've been there once, but my mom has history there and all that kind of
cool.
stuff. It's kind of fun. Yeah.
And it's
a few places that are on there that I don't want to quote the schedule because I don't really remember.
That's
there's
okay.
a few that I hadn't ever been to. So it's going to be fun.
And it's a totally different vibe. I don't know if you knew this. I'm from Florida. So I'm from South Florida. But I know about Orlando. I know about UCF. You know, I live.
Lived. But we're not in South Florida. We're kind of central, right?
You're central. You're definitely Central Florida. You're 100% Central Florida.
UCF, right?
Yes, exactly. University okay, of Central Florida.
Okay, good. I know. It takes me a minute. I was told not to call it University of Central Florida. Just call it UCF. If we're really... Yes. You know, they tried to give us the little synopsis that don't say this, don't do that. You know, it's not so UCF, and that is so we're in Central. So okay.
Well, and UCF has exploded too. I mean, it you know, whenever I was growing up, nobody went there. Like definitely nobody played football there. And then over the last what, like maybe 5 years, even a little bit before that, it's just become this incredible program. It's a great place to work. But it's a different vibe. Obviously Auburn, I've been around it. You obviously have been around it for almost 10 years, probably over 10 years when you think about when he was a
11 years
coordinator.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long time, but it's totally different. Did you get the sense that it was a completely different place? Like as soon as you got there?
Well, okay. So absolutely. Because I got on the plane in Auburn and it was 51 and rainy and cold.
Yeah.
And I landed and it was 82 and I was sweating immediately. I realized, you know, you don't need your suede boots even in February.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You don't need any of that stuff. It is a different vibe all the way around. Gus's first student interaction that he had at the Spring Splash that they do this little thing. Wore Tommy Bahama shirt, you know, and it was just a totally different, he has not put on a suit and tie since the first day. There's not been any, you know, I think people would look at him a little strange if he walked in and
probably,
you know, I'm embracing the whole flip flops and I, you know, hanging out 99 degrees when I was sitting in the shade. And it's like 3:30 in the afternoon. I'm realizing it's May 5th. Oh my gosh.
And it gets worse.
What is happening?
It gets worse.
That's the thing. I'm that part, you know, I'm still processing because I'm going to have to find a way to keep her cool.
Seriously. I mean, it is.
That's a hard thing, but
it's brutal. There's no ocean. There's no breeze.
No, there is none. And it is tons to do. Right off the bat, we went to Orlando Magic game. I mean, we've already been really actively doing things that, you know, Auburn has its beauty and has its fun, but it's been really nice to be in something different. I'm sitting here looking out my window and people out walking. We lived on like a 30-acre little plot.
Yeah.
Never saw anybody, never heard anybody. And yesterday I'm like at 5 o'clock, is that somebody still doing their lawn? Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
You know, the yards are perfectly manicured and everything.
Oh, yeah.
So nice. And I just, it's a new world of seeing cars, seeing people and all the fun stuff, having tons of Mexican restaurants, which was always a sad thing for guests.
Wait, is there a Waffle House?
There is a Waffle House.
Are you guys going to keep that tradition or are you going to leave that in Auburn?
I don't know. And I'll tell you why. One of our alumni is I hesitate. I don't know exactly what his, I think he started First Watch.
Okay.
Breakfast place.
Amazing. I love First Watch.
And so, you know, they've kind of, I don't know, we might shift a little.
Okay.
You know,
stick new with place. Breakfast.
But truthfully, I'm good with whatever, just so long as we can eat after the game.
Yeah. Because for people who don't know, you guys always ate at Waffle House when you won.
When we were, yes. And when we were in high school, it was usually a way just kind of to chill for a minute. And it, because his games, when he started that hurry up, no huddle thing, his games started running. Sometimes they would, high school games, 10, 10:30, you know, kind of ending. It was crazy in the beginning. And so not a lot of stuff. We lived in a small town. Not a lot of stuff was open, but Waffle House is always open. So it kind of became the thing. And it got picked up nationally when we went one night, and it was crowded in Auburn, the one over by the school.
Yeah.
So we left. Well, somebody saw it and was just like, oh my gosh. So from that point forward, they saved a booth for us. So it made it nice and easy to get in and out. But it's a great tradition, and it's easy, and we're just not, but I don't know. We're doing a lot of things new. And trying some new ways, and it's okay. And going back to your thing about UCF, it is new, but truly they've had more success and, you know, some sort of foundation being built over the past few. I mean, we were the recipients of the butt kicking a few years ago. And so yes. We know they were no joke.
Yeah.
And it's kind of one of those things where you see that you're not having to completely build from ground up, but they are so young. It is so young. And the average age of our alumni is 36.
That's crazy.
And 72,000 kids, it's growing quickly, but yeah. It's still just very young. I laughed and told, a lot of these kids are just now starting to get into the groove of their careers and
sure
what they're doing with their life. So you know, well, it will be nothing but better in the days to come. So it's a good time.
I'm so excited and happy for you guys. But you know, you said high school and Waffle House, you guys have been together for so long. I didn't realize that the Waffle House thing started in high school.
Yeah. We've been married 33 years this month.
Congratulations.
And I thank you. So we have survived each other. All the time. There were times he was doing me a favor, and there were times I was doing him a favor. But right now in life, we deserve each other.
So there you go.
Yeah. God has a sense of humor. We truly are, you know, just we've grown up kind of doing this thing. I mean, this is his 31st year of coaching, I think. So it's been a long time.
Was he doing, when you guys met, did you guys meet when you were in high school or when he was coaching high school football?
No. We met when I was ninth grade. He was a senior. I was eighth grade and he was a junior. His junior year, he came to the school where I was. We were in a small school, like one hallway.
Wow. Like,
when I say small, it was really small.
So you're going to see him no matter what.
We saw each other. His best friend was dating my best friend. I mean, you know, those kind of things. And it was just really, his class probably had 20 some odd kids and mine probably had 40. So we were very involved in the hallway as far as the school. And then we started dating. I was doing my baccalaureate May and we were married a year later. Yeah. So
what? Wait, you guys got married in high school?
I was 18, 19. And had just turned 19 and he was 22.
I don't know how I didn't know that.
I know. I don't know either. You missed out on a great story. Not. There's no real story, but it just how we've, he literally at that point was, we finished college. He finished college a couple of years before I did and before didn't finish. Before, when he finished, we left, and then he was coaching in high school. I mean,
yeah,
AAU and all these volunteer things while he was in college.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I've just always known he was going to coach. Always known he was going to coach. So,
and
I think he's always going to coach. So that's, it's been the blessing. And that was really part of the sabbatical time that I call it, the 8 week off. He really had to go through to decide, you know, what is it I'm supposed to be doing now? Maybe this is the next season of life and it's going to look differently, but nope, it's not.
Not yet. Eventually.
We're in sunny Florida. And he said the other night, do you ever just sit there and go, we live in Florida?
Oh my gosh.
We live in Florida. Can you believe it? And I said, I know. I mean, I didn't ever dream that we'd live in Florida. If we did, I figured it would be the old days of retirement. But here we are in the thriving time of everything in our lives.
And your kids are grown. This is fun for you guys.
Our kids are grown. Our grand boys, we've got two in Nashville, and we've got one coming in October in Birmingham. And yeah, we just tell them they term this as, can we go to Kissy and Grandpa's Mickey house? So that's our,
of course.
Yeah, they want to do the whole Disney thing. I told them late fall, winter, maybe.
Yeah, you don't want to don't take them in the summer. I mean, it'll be,
we've done it. We did it with ours when they were little.
And it was brutal.
Oh,
it's brutal, so hot. Brutal. I can't do it. I mean, Levi, my husband, which is still weird for me to say, but he hasn't been to Disney.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. He's never been to Universal and Disney. And, you know, I grew up going there because it was only a 2-hour drive. And so I kept telling him, I was like, look, we got to go. Like, we're definitely going to go. I don't know when. And he's like, oh, maybe the summer. I said, you definitely have never been to Orlando. We're not going in the summer. I would literally be sitting on the wet rides the whole time because I can't. I just... No, not doing it.
It is the truth.
Hi, here are your 3 popcorn chicken po' boys. Have a supersonic day.
If you called me a popcorn chicken, I would take that as a compliment.
Compliment, right?
Yeah.
Hey, book, 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 popcorn chicken.
See, that feels nice. Yeah, that puts a smile on my face. You call me just a chicken.
Yeah, it's fighting words.
Yeah, exactly.
New Sonic popcorn chicken po' boy sandwich. Warm hoagie bun topped with jumbo popcorn chicken and creamy blackened mayo for a kick of Cajun in every bite. Try one for half price when you order online or in the app. Only online or in the Sonic app. Add-ons extra. Limit one. Not good with other offers at participating Sonic drive-ins for a limited time.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I was going to ask you is, you know, obviously this is really different and you guys are in a new space, a fun space. Are you more excited that it's not the SEC?
I would be lying if I said no, because yes. you know, it's such a great experience. I'm not going to lie. I mean, there's a lot of cool, fun stuff about the SEC. Really.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But it is, you live in such a bubble and such a constant, I mean, the pressure is so intense. I mean, you know, it's like you're playing a professional league in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I say that with all kindness and humility to say,
but seriously,
it is a real deal. It's just a hard league to be successful for long. You know, it's always, and I think college football as a whole has turned into that. You know, what have you done for me lately? When was the last win? And that's, you know, it almost is a joke. Gus used to say, you're only as good as your last win in the world, but that was before he got in the SEC. And I'm like, dude, no kidding. We probably spoke that over ourselves.
Because seriously.
The truth is, you just, if it's not a big win, and it kind of gets to a point where even if you win, it's got to be a win. You know, it can't just be a win kind of thing. There's a lot that are expected to win. And Auburn, again, is one of those places that the expectation is high, which we're happy to have, because the truth is Gus has high expectations for himself.
Yeah.
But it is a hard job when your in-state rival is always going to be, and you always have Georgia on the schedule every year, and you've got, I mean, your schedule is brutal every year.
Auburn is just in such a weird place because, like you said, you've got Alabama as your biggest rival and they're winning national championships consistently every year. And then hate to remind you. And then
thank you.
Then you also have Georgia, which is a huge rivalry. And you know, they've been successful over the last, five, 10 years, whatever, or just in their history, they're successful. So Auburn was always in that tricky, like, little sibling spot, right? Like you're expected to do great things. And if you're not, you know, you're not held to those other expectations. It's weird. Like I always thought that Auburn would be such an impossible job and you guys lived it.
Yeah, but it's such a great place. I mean, it really,
I love Auburn. I said, I love Auburn.
Yeah, I do. And I get what you're saying. Cause it is that space of, you see the value and they're not like other places. They really aren't. We used to tell people our biggest selling point when we were recruiting was getting them on campus because the truth was.
Oh, for sure.
And I expect that will be truthfully even here. I think that's part of it. And it's been, but you're competing for the same group of kids with all the area schools. And then it's just a hard. You're right. On so many levels, it's so hard when you've got somebody up north. We used to say the school, which is kind of just over a little bit, but that was able to just kind of say, "I'm going to pick you, and you."
Yeah,
it's hard, and they are very successful for a good reason. And he's a great coach. I mean, I have nothing but respect for every coach over there, for the most part. You know, but. We'll leave it at that. But yeah, I just think as a whole, it's just a hard job. It really
did
is.
Did it put pressure on your marriage?
No, I think if anything, it solidified. It was kind of like that diamond out of a piece of coal kind of a thing, in that we were in the fire so much. And at the end of the day, it was important for us to remember consistently that it's us against everybody else when it really comes down to it. Because at the end of the day, this position has been great. And that's where, I mean, I make it a big deal to tell the coaches' wives that are coming up as they're young. Remember, it's the position that people are talking about. It's the position that your husband holds. It's not necessarily your husband, because it can feel really personal if you're not careful. But the truth is, next guy's going to get it too. And that guy over there's getting it too. And that one's getting it from their people. It is the position. So as a whole, it probably made us stronger because we just truly... home was the safe space, you know, and in our world, that's not very common to have you don't have a lot of safe spaces. So,
love that. And that's great advice because, I mean, you know, I know that you don't sit in the stands. You still don't, right?
I haven't in a long time. Now, I would at out of town games. I'll say I did do that at out of town games. At home games,
you don't.
It kind of started back in 2009-10 when Jonna Chiswick and I would sit in a room and watch it together. And
it's like a bunker.
Yeah, we did. We'd bunker down.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it really was.
No, I get it though.
They built a new nice one the last couple of years, so I got to sit in that. But it truly became a place that it was kind of a safety net for me to be. Able to, you know, watch and
be yourself, not have to worry about people watching
when I wanted
you.
To express and move when I wanted to, you know, all those things. But because it we noticed early on, and even when I was traveling and I would be sitting in the stands, people would be watching to see, I in panic mode? Was I looking like I was frustrated with something? What was I saying? What was I, you know, and not that I don't mean it to sound like people cared what I just had to be careful because it would either be reported, tweeted out about, you know, something. And I don't mean that sounds self-important by any means.
No, it doesn't sound that way.
Again, it's on to someone else now. So
yeah, and you know, it's funny because you and I have talked about this before, and you know, as a coach's wife, so I live this in two parts, right? Like, because of what I do, and also as a coach's wife, like I always have to be careful about what I say, when I say it, how I say it, you know, no matter what I'm doing. And there's that constant pressure of not necessarily completely being your whole self. And you probably feel kind of the same way, right? Like you have to hold your tongue, and it's like annoying to me a lot.
It is, you know, there's two pieces to that. First of it is that if you, what I learned was that when I was saying it, everyone assumed it was coming from Gus's mouth. And I'm,
which like, what?
Hello?
I don't get that.
If you know me at all, you know, I have way more words than Gus. I have my own opinion.
That's true.
I have my own.
It's very true. So
it is not Gus's words or even his opinions about, I mean, he and I would have real conversations because we saw things differently, but
of course
that's where I felt like I was a benefit to him in his world because I could see it from a different perspective.
Right.
And bring that perspective to him. At the end of the day, he had to make the decisions and he had to do what he had to do. But sure, there were times that it was really like, hey, what about, and did you think about, you know, how about this? But it always cracked me up because people would be like, oh, so Gus thinks, and I'm like,
how does that even
learn about Gus?
I don't get that.
Straight up Christie's opinion. But that is one piece of it. The positive side is that it gave great accountability mm-hmm. for me. It was, being that I am a woman of many words, the Lord has used that job to help refine and kind of pull in. I can still have fun and I can still talk, but I got to be careful about what I say and how I say it and where I say it, etc. I mean, you do. You just have to be careful. So I think it has some positives, but I do think that there is that whole piece of it that is comical to me because people thinking that, you know, I guess they think I don't have an opinion. But
well, of course, you guys share the same brain because you're married, right? You guys say the same things. You guys are the same person.
He would never be okay with you saying
that. I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah. Yeah, so for sure.
Does he really not curse?
That's a loaded question. I will say, as a whole, no, he does not. Have I seen him be really hostile? Because as soon as I say no, he doesn't curse, they're gonna pull it up on TV and show you the two or three times that he's ever. Common conversation and really even in the heat of the moment. When he was in high school, it was a real discipline to absolutely not. And his thing was, if I make it part of my casual conversation, when I'm in high stress moments, it's going to get worse because that's what's going to flow.
Yeah.
And so he really does challenge the staff as well as himself. Hold yourself to a high accountability. Remember, we have women and children, and you want to be proud if your mom was standing here. For a lot of people, it doesn't matter. But for him, right, it mattered. And it was something that was important that he could communicate without, you know, the kids understood if he said that's, you know, bull crap, that was just as bad. And of course, then I laugh and I go, you know, God knows if you say it in your head. I'm not even hearing it in my head, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So he really, can I say he's never, no, I cannot and I will not. But, you know, it is something that it's a standard he tries to hold himself to. It's not anything that anybody else has placed. And, you know, we'll see. But
I know, I was curious because I know that that's been a thing. And I was like, yeah, wait, is it serious? Like, does he really not ever?
Yeah. With me, I would say 99.9% of the time, I really don't. I mean, it's not something that, you know, truly, I'm the one with potty mouth, if anybody has.
You'll hear it a lot in Florida. It's going to be different.
Well, for sure. Well, it's different in the college football world. Without a doubt, that's one of my things that I understand that. My whole thing is you can talk yes, it'd be best if we kept our all of our language wholesome and pure. Let's just be honest. That's a calling from the scripture. I mean, that's, but the reality for me that is most important is the getting personal with it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can, you can say that play was, rather than saying you are a piece.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree. I totally agree.
Difference. And I, that's been the important part for me with the players and with the people. You just treat them with respect and don't talk to them in a way that you're speaking
at that person. Yeah. About a play, everyone gets frustrated and it's football.
Oh, yeah.
And
I mean, there were a few calls at times that, you know.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. All of us were like, what the was that? You know? And so I get it, but right. It is, you got to keep it under control. So.
Oh, I'm kind of glad you brought that up because, I mean, I could bounce around and talk to you about so many things, but I feel like you guys had so many, we know there were lows at Auburn. We don't have to get into all of that, but there were some really high highs. I mean, there's so many to name. Kick six would be the first one off the top of my head. Do you have a favorite?
You know, no, because they each held their own special moment for the moment. And I'm kind of like Gus in the times that I look at and I'm like, the holding on Derek Brown in 2019 at LSU consistently, never called, 3 points, the loss. Are you kidding me? And it would have changed everything. I mean, it's like,
yeah. You
literally would have. So I don't necessarily see the. I mean, I tend to see the things that I go, golly.
That just bother you.
Yeah. You missed it as to the ones that they actually call. The kick six, that whole 13 year, it felt like something cool was happening and we knew it was, but I'll never forget coming back in after we lost at LSU and came home and we did Sunday dinners with the boys during the season. And we were sitting there and Trey Mason, a couple others, we were sitting having a conversation. And I said, we just have to win out. It's not a problem. We just went out. It's, you know, I hate losing, but went out. Because we were trying to really, you know, establish. They had just gone 3-9 the year before. There was a hard mental, we were trying to break through to get back to a place of, we believe we can win. I mean, come on. They did. And it was a great year. But I also enjoyed not so significant moments, but just true big wins that you know, wow, that really happened. And that was a great feeling of, whoo, that was a pretty great game, you know, kind of thing. So
all the Iron Bowls, I mean.
Yeah, but that, you know, I go back to, there was a lot of really fun times in high school stuff that were just, I mean, at the moment, they were the biggest thing in the world to us, you know, because they were our games. But
absolutely.
So much fun. And seeing the kids, high school football is one of the purest forms of football that there is. Because there is no, I mean, it's still so about team. And the more the money gets involved in college, the more it's become. I mean, you're seeing it right now with the name and image and likeness conversation. It's going to be more and more about me.
Yeah.
And that's a real thing that the NFL already battles that if they, you know, it's a business. And so when you look at it on the college side, there's a lot of pieces that are really businessy.
Especially in the SEC.
Yeah. And it's getting more and more that way. So it's going to be, going to be interesting. So we're just, you know, gonna push through and shock the world.
You know, one of the things that I've always like really appreciated about you and honestly like looked up to you for was that you always, no matter where you were at, put yourself in, you know, feet first with the kids. You were really involved with the team. Why? I mean, why did you just decide that that's what you were going to do?
You know, when our girls were little, that was a hard, time was a hard thing for me because our kids were getting fewer moments with their dad And then I was getting to a place of, you know, being a tired mom that was working and trying to keep everything together. And so I just started taking the girls to practice. I mean, it was literally, there were days that it happened at Hughes. It was not as common at Hughes as it was when we moved to Springdale, because they'd both gotten just, Kinsey was 3 and Kylie was 7. And so it was a good timing for us to be able to be up there and not need to get naps and all that kind of stuff quite as much. And so we would go and watch practice and hang out and, you know, watching the girls interact with the players with the girls, they felt like they were part of it. And so at that moment, it was part of, I truly have a grateful heart, because I feel like the Lord just showed me, this is something I've called you to as well. This is not something that is just for Gus. This is for you. This is for your family. And it's going to be your choice whether you get to be bitter or get excited about it. And I don't know. I think about the missed opportunities. If I had not, oh my goodness. Do you know how many of these guys, I mean, I love my guys. I love my guys. And we have had some great, you know, kids come through our time. And some let you in a little faster than others. Some really will, you know, kind of watch you and get to know you a little bit. And about the time that they'd get to know you good enough that they would begin to really let you in, they were headed off, you know, to do their next thing. But as a whole, I just feel like it would be a missed opportunity. And they have been, they've all been a blessing, good, bad, and indifferent to us. And so it's been fun to get to know them and pour into their lives and just see value in what you're doing as a wife. So I don't know. This has been harder in that due to COVID and just coming in so late.
Yeah.
You know, when we went back to Auburn from Arkansas State, I didn't feel like this disconnect quite as much, because we had recruited most of those kids on the offensive side and knew the others from the defense. So we felt like we knew the kids. But it's been a little bit of a challenge just trying to make it all make sense and trying to be Kissy, which is my grandmother name. And, you know, so I'm doing some of that traveling and trying to, I mean, guess said the other night, how much longer until we have this house ready? Honey, I've only been here 6 weeks and you better sit down. But I've not been in town consistently for more than 4 or 5 days. And then I'd had to be gone for 2 or 3 or whatever to, you know, go keep the grandkids or go help with my mom or, you know, whatever. And so it's been a little different. So I'm headed up there today, but the kids are not there. So it's just getting to see the coaches and stuff. But with all of the different aspects here, it's taking me longer than I like. You know, I feel like I should already know them all, which I've gotten a good start.
That's good. But
I want to know them all before the season gets here, you know. And we normally do spring times with the boys in our home, and, you know, just guess started out trying to do it offense and defense, and I was like, no, I need individual positions, because I need to be able to, okay, what's her name, what's going on with her, you know, kind of thing. So you know, how'd you spend your first check? We'd always ask the freshmen, how'd you spend your first check, you know, because
that's a great question.
They'd get their cost of attendance check, you know, and that tells you a lot about, you know, where they are and what they
were. Fascinating.
Yeah, just, it's interesting. Things like that, just to get to know them. So
sure.
Hopefully, I think that was part of the point of how much longer till we have this house ready, so that we can have them over. And they don't care. So it'll be soon that we'll start doing those, you know, meals through June and July, so that I can get to know them just for a minute before season gets here. So
it'll be here before you know it.
I know it will be so fast.
Hi, here are your three popcorn chicken po' boys. Have a supersonic day.
If you called me a popcorn chicken, I would take that as a compliment.
Compliment, right.
Yeah.
Hey, popcorn chicken.
See, that feels nice. Yeah, that puts a smile on my face. You call me just a chicken.
Yeah, it's fighting words.
Yeah, exactly.
New Sonic Popcorn Chicken Po' Boy Sandwich. Warm hoagie bun topped with jumbo popcorn chicken and creamy blackened mayo for a kick of Cajun in every bite. Try one for half price when you order online or in the app. Only online or in the Sonic app. Add-ons extra. Limit one. Not good with other offers at participating Sonic drive-ins for a limited time.
There's so many really positives to being a coach's wife. You know, we've gone through those. There's so many negatives too, but I like what you said, that you choose to just not feel sorry for yourself and really just enjoy the situation and enjoy what it can bring you, because it can bring you a lot of really positive things. And I love it, as crazy as it is, as difficult as it is a lot of the time. It's really rewarding, and you're proof of that. You know, it's so rewarding in what you give to other people. You give these to these athletes. So what is your favorite part about being a coach's wife?
My favorite part, I would have to say just, the opportunity to put a small little bitty imprint on the next generation. I mean, right now we've got kids who have got grown kids.
I mean,
that's, we're far enough into this that now we're seeing them become the dads, and the, we've watched them be good husbands and good fathers and et cetera. And then knowing that maybe, hopefully you played just a little bitty baby part of that, you know, I know it's not much, but sometimes for some, it's a whole lot more than others, but, I think that's part of it. I think just being part of something is really great too. I love being part of the team, but I also love that I'm a coach's wife. And that's a great, it's a great little sorority to be part of, because they are strong and kind and good women for the most part that are really, you know, doing something special, whether they realize it or not, even in the mundane, you know, just taking care of washing the uniforms. Or somebody sent me a picture the other day, and they were in their field house painting the, you know, painting the walls of their husband's office and this, that, and the other. And it's like, it's a real deal.
Yeah.
That there is no limit to what we get asked to do in a lot of ways. And yes, on this end, it's a little nicer, a little easier maybe sometimes, that, but I've been through those years of where literally, you know, it was everything. So it's kind of fun.
You know, that's a lot of the reason why I started this podcast, is because I guess I mean, you never know what something is until you're in it, whether it be marriage or kids or whatever the deal is. And for me, before I became a coach's wife, you know, I've always been a reporter. I had this preconceived notion of what a coach's life was. And I think a lot of people do, right? They think either you aren't working, you're not a part of the team, you're separated, you're this, you're that. I got into this and I was like, dang, like these women are awesome. Every coach's wife that I met was strong, was independent, was just all of the incredible adjectives that I can describe. And I was like, dang, like I love coach's wives. And that's why I started this podcast. And you're proof of that too. I mean, I've always looked up to you. I think that you're awesome.
But I agree with you 1,000%. And I have said it for years. They're some of the strongest I know. I mean,
seriously,
you right have now, to be. We've got a whole crew that are trying to find a house in this market. Are you kidding me?
Oh my gosh, I know.
Well, you know, they're handling their families' lives back home. And truly, it's like you pick up, and the guys have the unique gift of walking into an immediate group and family and camaraderie, and things just kind of mesh because they're part of their own fraternity.
Right.
But the wives have everything else to get done, and everything from making sure that all the utilities are turned off and then turned on in the new place to,
seriously,
you know, did I schedule the trash pickup? You know, did I get on that list? Did I, there've been things even with this move that I've just, it's been a while since I've done that. And it was just like, man, it's especially moving into a city you're trying to find what is the best school district, what is the best, you know, what's going to be closest to all of your kids' activities. And all the while, he's got to be able to get to and from work within a very reasonable amount of time.
Yep.
And be available, you know, so that if he has a couple hours, he could come home and see you and see the kids. So it's just been, and this market has not been kind.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy.
The house market in general, anywhere, is like nuts.
It is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So I don't know, but they just truly, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like in our community, they probably get credit, but as a whole, I don't feel like they get enough credit for what they do on the, you know, we wives do as a whole, you know, for people's kids. Because at the end of the day, that's really what it's about. And I'm maybe not involved in your children's lives all the time, but I'm making everything over here run smoother so that he can be all that he needs to be.
All right. I know I'm limited on my time with you because you got places to be today. So I'm going to save the best question for last. I'm going to ask you a hard question. Okay.
Oh gosh.
What was your relationship like with Terry Sabin?
See, that was a code word. Was it actually our, I would say we had a relationship.
Okay.
She was an acquaintance that we did the same thing. And again, I have great respect for her because Miss Terry keeps it together. And I think that from what I have experienced in being in their presence and watching the two, her and Nick function, it reminded me a lot in the way that we did, that she and I are a little more outgoing and we talk and we engage and the guys are a little more buttoned up and not a lot to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, truly, I think she's doing a great job doing her life too. But I don't know that I would necessarily say we had relationship. We were Auburn and Alabama.
Well, you know,
we were red for 11, 12 years. We were even at the Red Wolves and basically I just put on a little touch of red because you don't do red. So
you and all the other SEC wives are like tight, or you guys are close.
I wouldn't say that that's not true. I just would say that those two in the state of Alabama were not so close.
Well, what do you guys have to be close about? You know, I don't
know. We didn't see a lot of the same. I mean, you know, her opinion was, you know, that other opinion.
Oh my God. True Bibles all the time. I'm just kidding.
Very dear friends in the SEC coaches wives, as well as other conferences. But yeah, I mean, yeah. So there's a couple, three or four that we text regularly, you know, or we stay in communication or check in on each other, talk social media, whatever. Is she even on social media? If
no.
She is, I didn't
know. Like, I don't even think, I'm honestly pretty sure Nick has just started to like have a computer.
I would almost have to, just because there's so much of that time that you can only communicate with the players by way of Twitter messages.
That's what I'm saying. But like,
weird.
But his players have told me like he would only email. And I was like, what do you mean?
Well, I have to say, for the longest time, Guest didn't know how to create an email, he could only reply to one. Okay, you gotta learn. The little,
so we learned.
Yeah, well, I guess. I don't know that he really ever, you know, composes an email, but.
I don't know, because here's like outsider's perspective. I'm not married to him, obviously, and I'm not in the space. But so at Auburn, you know, Gus was kind of like, I don't want to say untouchable, but it's not like, you know, people really got to know him very well as a fan. Like you said, he's kind of buttoned up. He kind of did his own thing. You know, I feel like at UCF, he's like a new person. Like his Twitter is incredible. I'm just like, wow, he's so relaxed. This is so nice.
The Florida life has,
literally, no. I'm blown away.
He tweeted out the other day. He had texted me, "Hey, do you think it would be like okay if I tweeted out?" And when he did, the little
He does tweet. Like it's his Twitter. For the most part,
it is totally his Twitter. It is totally his Twitter. Now, I would be lying if I told you that he's the one typing out 90% of it. He tells them what he wants said. Then he sat, you know, but he is scrolling, reading, texting them what he wants posted. But
you've come a long way.
He's not the best speller, probably. And I would probably be like, are you kidding me? What did you just write? So, yeah, it is totally his. But it is, and for the longest time, you know, at Auburn, he's excited.
Different.
We've got good days ahead. And he, like I said, he was in his Tommy Bahama shirt, having the big old time.
The Tommy Bahama shirt before that moment? Or did he just buy it because you guys love him?
They gave it to him. It had a logo on it. I turned around, I'm like, what are you wearing? Like, they gave me this shirt. And then the next thing we know, it's blowing up and people on Twitter asking, you know, where can I get that shirt? And I'm laughing. I'm going, hey guys. And yeah, he's definitely embracing just the whole, it is a little more laid back. It is a little more just have fun. You know, there's some of that. And it's been a long time since he's just had fun.
I'm so happy for you guys. Seriously. Like every time I see a video, I'm just like, this is the best place for them to go to. If they were going to get back into coaching, like this is great.
Ding, ding, ding. It truly is. It is so, you know, his whole thing, I guess, is a dreamer and not intimidated with the whole idea of having, you know, there's been some, you know, well, you're not in a Power Five. And he said, I'm just changing the narrative. It's not about the Power Five or the not, doesn't matter what our conference is.
Mm-hmm.
Are we qualified to play whoever? So come play us and we'll talk, you know? And I think
UCF beat Auburn.
They did. Well, and they played LSU within 8 points at the year. I mean, their New Year's Day bowls. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sorry. They've more than a lot of the other schools that are running their mouth have been able to do.
Correct.
And
so who cares about Power Five? Like they're still winning, and, you know.
Having 5 kids drafted the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
I know.
What you need to tell. No. I mean, there's hilarious. Some good football being played. And as a whole, it's just nowhere to go but up. So it's all good. And they, like I said, they're very young, but they've had a lot of success and they've really got a great foundation built. So we're just excited to get to see if we can't get it to that next stage.
Are you, it's Kissy and what do we call Gus?
What do you think? Grandpa. I mean, are you kidding me? I came up with some of the cutest names, but that right there tells you who we are. I'm Kissy, and my son-in-law is like, Kissy?
This is cute, because Christy.
Well, I said. It sounds like a 2-year-old. Grandpa. Say Christy, you know? I mean, who cares? It's cute. And I don't hear it everywhere. My nieces, I tried to get them, most of them called me Kiki for years. And then Kim Kardashian and that crew took over, and I was like, no.
We're going to shut that down.
Take my name, I'm out.
Yep.
So then I became Kissy for Anderson 3 years ago. And I was like, Kissy and Coach? Or he was like, everybody calls me Coach. I don't want that. I want something special for my grandkids.
So we went with Grandpa?
We had everything. Grandpa.
Kissy and Grandpa. Mm-hmm. Are you guys going to wear the Mickey ears when you take the grandkids to Disney?
I have already got some UCF Mickey ears. Go!
Yes!
Student's headband.
We're on brand.
With the little UCF and then my little black bow. And
love it.
I'm loving my color scheme. I look good in gold and I look great in black. So
black, it's on great black colors.
On black with a pop of gold. I am good.
Love it. So, love it.
Yes. Perfect colors. Perfect colors.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm really happy for you guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. So at this point in the podcast, I always talk about what I found the most interesting. And really, if you can't tell, Christy and I love talking to each other. We're so giggly and it's just so much fun. I love her recalling her time at Auburn and also being really honest about the pressures that come with coaching in the Southeastern Conference. Those of you that are fans or maybe not even direct fans of the SEC understand how intense it really is. But imagine being Gus Malzahn, right? When he was at Auburn, you have Nick Saban up the road, winning national championships every year. It was just such a hard job. And at the end, he ended up at UCF, but super happy for that family. They're going to have a great time in Orlando, and I hope you enjoyed that episode. But on my next episode, I've got a TikTok star. No, seriously. Her husband plays for the Indianapolis Colts now, but he's an Atlanta native, went to high school here in this area. Her name is Allie Rochelle, and she is married to Isaac Rochelle. Such a dynamic duo. They are so much fun. So before you listen to that episode, make sure you check out her TikTok because she's hilarious. I mean, she really honestly dishes what it's like to be married to a professional football player, to an NFL player. And she's so funny and so genuine, so down to earth. They're really cool. They just moved from California because he was with the Chargers. So Indianapolis is an adjustment, but they're loving life so far. So that episode is coming out soon. But until then, I'm Maria Martin, and this is Married to the Game.